Welcome to the Foreign and European Affairs Committee, ambassadors. I don't know whether you know all the members of the, but by introduction, MP Alex Borch, MP Bernice Bonello, myself as chair, Honorable Amanda Spiteri-Greg, Beppe Fenakadami, and Honorable Mario De Marco. Thank you for your meeting. We are here to hear what you have to say, since you requested this meeting. It was our pleasure to meet because we feel that an open dialogue is very important to keep not just our relations, but to keep on the discussion going and the debate going about important and relevant issues, which are all important and relevant to our countries and the countries you represent as well.
I don't know, they all are on. Yeah? Well, again, thank you for accepting our request to have a meeting with the committee. We are representing Arab and Turkey as we are part of the OIC member states. Today, we have the Egyptian ambassador, His Excellency Mr. Khaled Anis, Turkish ambassador, chargé d'affaires of Libya and Tunisia, and two other ambassadors unfortunately could not make it, Qatari and Kuwaiti. But on behalf of everyone, we really thank you for giving us a chance to talk to you. First of all, we thank you for having a meeting and discussion last week about the issue that's happening in our region. Unfortunately, we were not really happy with the statement that came out of the committee. We were looking for a more balanced statement, more neutral, as Malta is advocating itself of being a neutral state. And on the other hand, we expect Malta to abide by their standards and positions toward the Palestinian issue of the two-state solution, of the illegality of the settlements, and to implement the UN resolution, especially 242 and 338, that called for independent Palestinian state, the right of the refugees to return to their homeland. I would like to brief you firstly about what's happening on the ground since the beginning of October. Whatever you want to call what happened, we have been warning about it for a long time, since the new Israeli government, which has a lot of radical parties in it, formed by Netanyahu. For the first time, there are Israeli settlers who are ministers in this government. And according to international community, which Malta abides to, settlements are illegal. So to have Israeli parliament members who are settlers is an illegality by itself. What has happened in the last year since the new Israeli government took place, many incursions to Palestinian cities and towns, and especially to refugee camps, especially in Nablus and Jenin. The Israeli army has killed more than 150 Palestinians in these refugee camps. And unfortunately, the international media and countries and the international organization has shed a light about what is happening in Palestine, focusing on other issues, because the people who were being killed were unfortunately only Palestinians. And when it comes to Palestinian lives, it doesn't matter to the international media as much as other lives. We have warned many, many times that without a political horizon for our people, stability will never be in our region, unfortunately. So, as Palestinian state government, we have called the international community many times to stop the Israeli aggression, the Israeli incursions to the holy site, especially to Al-Aqsa Mosque. For the first time since Sharon in 2002 went to Al-Aqsa Mosque, we are seeing ministers going to the holy shrines in Al-Aqsa Mosque. We are seeing the Israelis justifying the spitting on Christian pilgrims in Jerusalem, which has never happened in the history. So what has been happening in Palestine, especially in East Jerusalem and in refugee camps, was not better by the Palestinians. Yes, things have to escalate. Things have to happen in order for the international community to stand up and say enough for the occupation. Our people in Gaza are being killed daily. 700 Palestinians were killed yesterday. 333 of these were children under the age of 17, including whole families. One family, 37 people were killed from one family. What happened in Gaza is a huge genocide. We welcomed yesterday's speech by Minister Ian Borges, the UN, of course, who mentioned what's happening in Gaza. But on the other hand, you cannot give Israel a blunt green light to defend itself. Israel is occupation. Let's be very honest with each other. Even being a neutral doesn't mean that you cannot condemn occupation. You need to understand that it's their responsibility to guarantee my safety as a Palestinian who's living there. I'm under occupation. It's the occupier's responsibility to guarantee our safety and security. They cannot just kill the people under occupation. More than 6,000 people have been killed in Gaza in 18 days. And that's the number we know. We have no idea what's happening under the rebels. They have even targeted a hospital. If you want to abide by the Israeli story and say it was an internal strike, what about the church? I have relatives in Gaza who were killed in that church. It's ridiculous to say in the international media and stick by the United States story about Hamas targeting its own hospital. If you're talking about the hospital, what about the 6,000 others who were killed there? Israel is targeting everything in Gaza. They're doing mass destruction. President Vella visited Gaza right after the 2014 war, and he came with the impression that a genocide is happening there. We understand that the Maltese people, in their humanitarian aspect, they understand the Palestinian suffering, and they were used to Malta supporting Palestine much, much more and much, much openly. We don't see it anymore, unfortunately. I know people in this room speak what they feel about Palestine, and we truly thank them for this. But we need a statement that really shows the international community that Malta still abides by their support to the Palestinian as people under occupation. That's all we need. Thank you.
So, in the meantime, we are joined by Honourable Edward Zamit Lewis and Dami Kakia. But if I may to react, our committee has adopted one common position. So, first of all, we condemn terrorist attacks. Unequivocally and categorically condemned the terrorist attacks by Hamas. We also feel that Hamas does not represent the Israeli, the Palestinian people, and the Palestinian people are different from Hamas. We are also very concerned about the fate and well-being of civilians, both in Israel and in Palestine as well, and we have made it clear even in our statement, and the statement which you have supported by our Foreign Minister Ian Borch, where he again said they spoke on the called for the need of humanitarian ceasefire and for an independent investigation on the attack of the hospital, because irrespective of who did what, an independent investigation is needed, and loss of civilian life is obviously not on. We underscore Israel's right to defend itself, but has to be proportional and within the parameters of international law. And that is the position I believe that is a fair position that Malta has taken. Malta keeps on reiterating the position that, albeit a dream maybe, that in the future there will be two states living next to each other. I don't know whether members of the committee at this stage
allow
or
me
members of the...
to comment, two fast comments, and then I'll give everyone else the ground. First of all, yes, I represent the state of Palestine. But we have to understand that Hamas is Palestinian people at the end of the day, and they won election 2006. And we had the speaker, Mr. Farouja, participate as an observer then. So either you accept the elections and you abide by the results, or no need even to start the elections from that time. On the other hand, I'm not defending a particular Palestinian faction, but if it wasn't Hamas, as I told you, we have been warning about the boiling in the Palestinian area, too much depression, too much frustration by our people. People are seeing the international social media and they see how everyone else is living happily and safely, but we can't. We have 500 checkpoints. within the Palestinian territories to fly outside of Palestine. They have destructed our only airport in Gaza. We have to go through Jordan, go through Palestinian checkpoint, through an Israeli checkpoint, and through a Jordanian checkpoint to go to the airport of Jordan to catch a plane outside. Our life is a disaster there. It's not like everyone else is living. It's controlled completely by Israel. Separation wall, 500 checkpoints, daily incursions to our area. And to give Israel a right to defend itself with proportionality and according to international law, what international law to Israel? They've always been above the international law, unfortunately. So many UN resolutions against Israel were never implemented. As people under occupation, our rights are always denied. 8,000 prisoners are in Israeli prisons. No one even mentioned them. When there are some hostages in Gaza, everyone in the media is like hostage in Gaza. What about the 8,000 prisoners in Israeli prisons? You need to be more and more, I don't want to say to take the Palestinian side, but you need to look deeply into what's happening. You cannot just justify Israel's right to defend itself against Palestinians who are under the occupation. There is no logic in this, Glenn, sorry, but the Israel's right to defend itself is absolutely against the international law because they're not implementing the international law. Until today, Israel does not have borders because they keep dreaming about expanding, unfortunately. Thank you.
May I open the floor to other members of the committee or? Honorable DeMarco.
So, Your Excellencies and Your Excellency, I fully understand the sensitivity and the tragedy that you're all living, that you are living, that your people are living every day and have been living, not for the past 17 days, but for the past decades. It goes without saying, though, that as individuals, we can never condone, and we can only condemn what took place on the 7th of October. In other words, we cannot, as human beings, justify the killing of civilians by whoever it is done. So our condemnation there is unreserved. As also we cannot condone and can only condemn the taking of civilians as hostages, especially when they are elderly people or young people. So in that respect, please respect the fact that we can only condemn these actions, which were perpetrated by Hamas. But obviously our feelings as well for the Palestinian people, please do not think that it has diminished or changed. Our feelings for what the Palestinian people have been going through for these decades, I think we have always, as a people, as successive governments, always extended our solidarity with the Palestinian people and their suffering. And I think we need to make a distinction between the representation, as you rightly put it, whether it's of the Palestinian people, and I don't think we should at this moment in time go into that aspect, and the Palestinian people who ultimately transcend beyond who represents them. When I see on the daily news the sufferings of the children in Gaza, the elderly people in Gaza, the ordinary human beings in Gaza, and the humiliation that they are suffering, that the people also in the West Bank are suffering, okay, and with the constant extension of settlers within the West Bank, so is obviously of great concern to us. because it goes against the dignity and the human rights and the rights of the Palestinian people, and not only of the rights of because they are Palestinians, but because they are humans. And as humans, we respect them. As Palestinians, we respect them because they have been suffering for so long. And yes, they have rights. And those rights need to be respected. So I have no doubt that what I'm saying is shared by my fellow members of the committee over here, that in this regard, the Palestinian people who have been suffering and who today are still suffering, and unfortunately, as things are looking, will tomorrow be suffering, is of enormous, enormous concern to each one of us. Because we have families, we are fathers, we are mothers, okay, we have children. And nobody wants to see that suffering on anybody. Obviously, we have also great concern that this crisis is becoming a regional crisis. And obviously, the fact that you are here today, not only in representation of the Palestinian people, but accompanied by, obviously, the ambassador of Egypt and of Turkey, and the chargé d'affaires of Libya and Tunisia. And yes, we are seeing the way things are developing. It's a crisis which is escalating and can destabilize the whole region. Which is why we firmly believe that every single effort needs to be done at de-escalation and allowing diplomacy and international diplomacy to properly work. But we also need to use this diplomacy to, as of immediately, resolve the hostage crisis, but also resolve the humanitarian crisis that is currently taking place in Gaza. Which is why also we discussed at our committee meeting when we took the state, when we made the statement that there needs to be a humanitarian corridor immediately put in place in Gaza, that the aid which is passing from Egypt to Gaza cannot be limited to 20 trucks a day, or 17 trucks a day, or 0 trucks as there was yesterday. Okay? Because this is a tragedy which is evolving under our eyes. And not only medical aid needs to pass, but we also know that fuel also needs to pass, because hospitals cannot work without fuel. Generators cannot work without fuel. Incubators cannot work without fuel. Life support machines cannot work without fuel. Okay, so we fully support all initiatives which can address this humanitarian, I wouldn't say crisis, tragedy, that is happening before our very eyes. And in this respect, please rest assured of the full support of the Maltese people for the suffering that the Palestinian people are going through. But at the same time, we also need to respect also the tragic circumstances that Israeli families went through on the 7th of October.
Honourable Mr. Lewis.
Thank you very much, and thank you, first of all, for being present. I share the sentiment of the chairman of the committee and my colleague, the Honourable DeMarco. Our history for the Palestinian cause and our foreign policy has been a very consistent one. I can mention two protagonists of this, the Palestinian cause, which was the Honorable Guido DeMarco and the current President of the Republic, His Excellency George Vella, who represent, are a personification of our foreign policy vis-à-vis Palestine. So we are a country that had consistent foreign policy, irrespective of who, which major political party was running the country. So that is something which is quite clear, and I believe that it is evidently reflected as well in this the sentiment of this committee. However, what happened on the 7th of October has to be condemned, and we're consistent with the Palestinian cause, but we are consistent in our condemnation. That has to be quite clear. I believe that there are three absolute priorities at the moment, because the situation is still evolving, but the three absolute priorities at the moment are, one was mentioned by my colleague Mario DeMarco, which is a safe corridor, both for people and for goods and services to enter the depressed, the Gaza Strip and other areas which are at war, let's put it that way. Second is the release of hostages, and not only a sporadic release, but an absolute release of hostages, because obviously they are surely not, they are not the problem, they are not the cause, and they are surely not the people who triggered this situation. And thirdly, which is very urgent, is an absolute ceasefire as well, because if there is a ceasefire, one can start reasoning in a rational manner and see the root of the problem. The problem didn't start on the 7th of October. It's a problem which is going on for decades, as my colleague Mario DeMarco as well mentioned. It's a problem which has been brewing up, and obviously there were these reactions, which one can discuss, but obviously violence cannot be condoned in any manner. Another point is that we wish and we intend to be an honest broker. That is part of our political culture, that is part of our foreign policy, but we weren't invited last weekend to the summit in Cairo. I would have wished that Malta, our government, was invited in Cairo as well, should have been invited, because obviously we cannot play our part as an honest broker if we are not invited to crucial meetings, even vis-a-vis, even if the forum was the Arab states. I believe that we can give a contribution as well in that forum, especially in this very sensitive moment. The last point is the two-state solution. What, ironically, what has been a positive outcome of all this negative and tragic situation is that more countries, I am realizing, are mentioning more the two-state solution, which is, let's put it that way, positive in inverted commas, but more people are realizing that a situation of coexistence where sovereignty and territorial integrity of both countries, of both peoples, can be a very viable solution. So I believe that we should as well take this opportunity to press more diplomatically and with all our means for a two-state solution, to try to obviously get out some positive outcome of this tragic situation. So I share the sentiment of the committee. As you can realize, Ambassador and even the other distinguished guests and ambassadors, as you can realize, that we have quite a common ground as regards our position, which signifies as well decades of foreign policy, which has been consistent in this regard. And I believe that to conclude, the two-state solution can be a permanent solution for coexistence between two countries wherein their people managed for decades as well, apart from the bad news which we are exposed to, managed to live and to coexist with each other. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you.
Any of the excellencies would like to share any comments? Ambassador Hanis?
first of all, thank you very much for this opportunity to talk in front of the honorable distinguished guests here and members of the committee. First of all, I have to make clear that I support every single word my colleague, the Ambassador of Palestine, has mentioned. We are living in a very sad moment. What is happening in Gaza is horrible, inexcusable. Yes, we do condemn the killing of innocent people from both parties, but there is no excuse to the collective punishment that the Gazan people are suffering now. 6,000 Palestinian people got killed in 10 days. 2,000 children got killed in 1 week. That's a collective punishment. Putting a total siege on Gaza, no food, no water, no electricity, no internet. What happened in 7 of October is horrible. It definitely is horrible. And we condemn it, and we are very clear in condemning that. But the reaction is not proportional. The reaction is inexcusable. It is a collective punishment. This is my first point. The second point, as all mentioned here, we warned the Israeli government, this government, and before, that the right-wing policies that they are using will lead to explosion. Settlements and settlements and settlements, occupation, 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 disrespect to the holy sites in Jerusalem, disrespect to Christians and Muslims in Jerusalem and others, total siege around Gaza. This accumulation of policies and practices that has been adopted by the Israeli government for a very long time has led to this sad moment that we are living in. This is a reality. And again, I'm very clear, my government and all governments here are condemning what happened in the 7th of October. We're not, but I'm trying to tell you is this is a result of the accumulation of policies adopted by the Israeli government for years and years. What we need from you is to play a role as an interlocutor between the Arab world, because you do understand the problem, and other European countries. You do understand the occupation policies that has been adopted for years, and you do understand the problem of settlements. Everybody is talking about two-state solution, but the settlements is going to kill the two-state solution. If you're not going to come out loudly to condemn settlements, what is a two-state solution? It will die, the two-state solution. And let me be very clear, because this is the Egyptian position. All practices that would lead to the displacement of Palestinians to other countries is rejected 100%. We are not going to allow to liquidate the Palestinian cause. The Palestinians would remain in their homeland. The Palestinians would reach and would work to have a state for their own people and for their children. We are not going to accept the displacement of Palestinians to the neighboring countries. This is clear by my government and clear by the Arab community, by the Arab world. So again, what we need from you is very clear. We need from you a more balanced position. We need from you to play an interlocutor role between the Arab world and the European countries. We need from you to show the Arab world, to show the international community that you do condemn the settlements, that you do condemn the occupation. This is the root of the problem. This is the real cause of the problem. Of course, we do condemn what happened in 7 of October, and we do condemn the killings of innocent people. But this is not the real cause of the problem. The real cause of the problem is the occupation. It's the loss of hope for the Palestinians to have a state for their own people. That's the real cause of the problem. Thank you very much.
Ambassador Hussain.
So, Your Honorable Mr. President, Honorable members of the committee, so thank you for accepting us in the parliament today. I also fully support what my Palestinian and Egyptian colleagues mentioned. You know, as Turkey, from the 7th of this month, you know, we condemned the killings of all civilians. But however, today Gaza is under attack, and Israel's actions, attacks against Gaza is unacceptable, and we fiercely condemn the killing of innocent people in Gaza now, every day, when we are seeing terrible scenes on the TV. I think all of us are very worried about, especially the killing of little children, women, and all other innocent people there. We called for an immediate ceasefire, and we called for the end of Israeli attacks and actions, you know, immediately. And we said that immediately humanitarian assistance should be let into Gaza. We are working with the Egyptian government. We sent to Egypt several planes. As Turkey, we are ready to send those humanitarian assistance, and also ready to set up field hospitals and get also wounded to Turkey. But we cannot do it now. And I think that needs to be addressed very, very quickly, because these civilians, you know, we don't know how long are they going to endure, these hospitals, these civilians. And also, we all support the two-state solution. We also mentioned about it. But Turkey said that Turkey is ready to be a guarantor for the Palestinian state. So that, you know, we all know that Palestinians have been living under occupation, and in their homelands, they deserve to have their own state. And we called to all other countries, you know, let Turkey and other willing countries to be the guarantors of this two-state solution. I think a strong condemnation is very important, because we are not hearing from the international community strong condemnation of Israel. Everybody says that Israel has the right to self-defense, but after that, you know, we are not hearing what's happening in Gaza. The loss of life of the civilians are unacceptable in terms of the international law and international humanitarian law. Our president, our foreign minister, mentioned that Israel is not an organization, it's a state, and a state should act with responsibility within international law, within international humanitarian law. So it's important. I mean, these attacks are unacceptable. We fiercely condemn them, and they should end. We should help. We should be able to help the people of Gaza, and this occupation should end. And there should be a two-state solution. And I support, you know, I don't want to reiterate what the Palestinian, the Egyptian ambassador mentioned, but I also support their statements. And thank you very much for hosting us again at the parliament today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman, for having us today here, and thank you for all the members of the committee. Actually, adding to what has been said, I would like to voice the Tunisian position regarding this this tragic situation in the Palestinian occupied territories. Tunisia stresses that it's important to have an immediate action to avoid further chaos in the region. We believe that what happened on the 7th of October is an alarming signal that things have to change. I don't want to just picture the situation in Palestine or to see the Palestinian cause now as if it started on the 7th of October. There are deep factors and causes that led to what we are living today. And if the international community is going to deal with the Palestinian cause with the same old mechanisms and with the same old methods, it will not solve the problem, but on the contrary, it will lead to more violence. And because the new generations, especially now, I speak under the control of the Palestinian ambassador, the new generation in Palestine, when they don't see hope, they will go for violence, automatically. International community and international legality was never implemented. So if you live in these conditions, and if any one of us, if they live in these conditions, when they lose hope, they will go to violence. So it didn't start on the 7th of October. This is I speak for the all Arab peoples now. What we are seeing, as if we are seeing that everybody started caring about what's happening in Palestine when those attacks happened on the 7th of October. It was, as I said before, it was an alarming signal. But we need to condemn more than 75 years of occupation, of humiliation of those peoples, of total ignorance, of ignoring the international community and the international legality. I call Malta as to play its important role as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council to call for a ceasefire and the protection of the Palestinian people, because violence will lead to more violence. It will not lead to peace. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Fenech Adami.
So, thank you.
I'm aware that you read the position of this committee, and from what I understand, you expressed your reservations on the content of our stand. I think what our committee declared last week is in line with what this country for a number of years has been stating on the Palestinian cause and on the regional problems we have been talking about here. So I reiterate the position of this committee. First of all, something has changed on the 7th of October, when you had an unprecedented, I would say, terrorist attack on civilians in Israel. I think that was the escalation in the area went one notch up. And I think it would be a mistake, and this is what we said in our statement, not to declare that what happened on the 7th of October, irrespective of the big and delicate issues, what happened on the 7th of October does not help the Palestinian cause. It does not promote the Palestinian cause. It hinders the Palestinian cause. Maybe a catalyst, maybe to the fallout, which we are witnessing at the moment. So this committee can never accept that on a fine Saturday morning, you've got the state of Israel, which is attacked by a number of organized persons, and let's not fool ourselves. It was a very well organized attack on innocent people in Israel, which has left hundreds of thousands of people who are dead, innocent people who are dead, mothers who lost their children, children who lost their parents, old people who lost their youngsters. So I think it would be a big mistake for all of us to underestimate the impact of such an event. However, we took, and so that was the line we took as our, I think, we had the courage as a committee to declare that is a terrorist attack, and because it had all the elements of a terrorist attack, and it is not in the interest of the Palestinian cause not to condemn such terrorist attack. On the other hand, we as a committee took the position that this event should lead to a proportionate response. We are against a collective punishment. we are against the situation which is developing at the moment, and we've expressed our reservations on the situation which is developing at the moment, which is that we've got innocent people now on the inside of Gaza, innocent children, innocent mothers, innocent fathers, people who probably condemn what Hamas did, who are being slaughtered, who are being killed indiscriminately every day in numbers which you have expressed. Obviously, Malta is committed to play a role. Its role. I think historically we have always played a very important role in this issue. But I am sure that your countries, your respective countries, also have a very important role in this matter. So I would like to ask maybe some questions on the situation. First of all, what is your opinion on the role Qatar seems to be playing in this matter, insofar as I understand the release of the hostages? What is the situation? You spoke about you are not in favor of the displacement of the Palestinian people in the sense that you will not let them, you know, the diaspora spread all over the Arab states. However, we in Europe have witnessed the wars. We are witnessing a war in our midst. And for example, our country has accepted some 700 refugees coming, I'm 700 from the Ukraine. And we do not consider that as the displacement of Ukrainians from a war, a place of conflict, but a humanitarian act to get people out of the hell they're living there. So whilst I can understand and appreciate the position that you are not ready to accept the displacement of Palestinians in respective neighboring countries, however, I think there is a humanitarian aspect to that as well. So my question is, yes, we have to save lives. At this point in time, one of the priorities is to save life. Let's stop the massacres and do our utmost to get people out of the hell they are living through. Let's try and stop. Let's make all our efforts to get peace in the area. However, in the meantime, we cannot let people dying, trapped in Gaza as they are today. Obviously, we are in favor of a two-state solution, which implies a Palestinian state and an Israeli state. So all political ideologies, because I think when you speak about Hamas, when you speak about Hezbollah, when you speak about these groups, sometimes we forget that, you know, here we are speaking not about people, we are speaking about ideologies. And ideologies which profess the extinction of the Israeli state do not augur well for a possible solution. So may I ask, what is the role which you think the Palestinian Authority can play or further play in the situation? The situation, I think, at the moment is that from the outside we get this feeling, this perception that the Palestinian Authority is not very much in the picture in this tragedy which is evolving in front of us. So you've got this situation. What is your situation on your position with regards to the alleged interference of Iran at the moment, so far as the West Bank and the financing of Hezbollah? What is your position with regards to the situation in Syria? I genuinely ask this question because I honestly believe that the matter is a bit more complex than what we hear and the propaganda we hear from the West and from the other side on the matter. So maybe you could explain to this committee what roles your respective countries can play towards achieving the peace which I have no doubt we all want, and I am sure that with your effort, I believe with the effort of the European Union, because I believe even Europe has a say and a responsibility to try and to make all its efforts to restore peace in the area. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ambassador Fadi.
Well, thank you, actually. To address your concerns, first of all, Qatar has been playing a big role in what's happening. Not only lately, Qatar has been a great supporter to the Palestinian cause, and they've always supported financially, building infrastructure, a lot of projects, hospitals, and taking care of so many social affairs families. Qatar lately has been condemning what's happening in Gaza, and the Jazeera has been covering much about what's happening, giving us a space to show the international community what is really happening from the Palestinian perspective. And Qatar as a country as well has been playing a big role in supporting Palestinian cause in the UN yesterday and in the statement in the Arab League meeting last week as well. When it comes to extremist groups, I'm sorry to hear you're only mentioning Hezbollah and Hamas, and you're not mentioning Ben Gafir and Smotrich, who are giving Israeli people living in settlers weapons to kill Palestinians. They give them the red light to kill Palestinians in Hawara next to Nablus. Every day, Israeli settlers are killing Palestinians. These are the extremists, unfortunately, not Hezbollah. Hezbollah has not been in the scene yet, to be honest. And when you mention Syria and Lebanon, I just want to remind you that Israel still occupies the Golan Heights and parts of Lebanon. Israel did not withdraw from these countries, and they don't have relations with Israel. Syria supposedly is still in war with Israel, and same with Lebanon. They have not withdrawn from Shebaa areas in Lebanon. So when you mention Syria and Lebanon, you need to remember that Israel still occupies areas there. When it comes to the role of the Palestinian state, Palestinian government, yes, we are taking action because, okay, even though we were not in charge of Gaza, but still 56% of our budget was going to our people in Gaza. Education, healthcare was our responsibility until today. And our president has been doing much since the 7th of October in order to ease the Israeli attacks against Gaza. We expected much more retaliation, as Netanyahu has said from day one, he would retaliate against the people of Gaza. We absolutely are against the killing. Our president said it, I said it, and all the Palestinian government says it. We are against the killing of civilians from all sides. We have been peacefully advocating, demonstrating against occupation for 30 years since President Arafat signed the Oslo Accords. We have been asking the Israelis to negotiate, but unfortunately, they always try to find excuses. Now they find the excuse of the 7th of October and making people, unfortunately, like your committee, talk about it as if it's the root of the problem, forgetting the 75 years of occupation of our people. As my Egyptian colleague mentioned, 75 years our people has been under brutal attacks. You cannot just start talking about the 7th of October. And let's put 7th of October behind us. Gaza is today under a massacre. How hard is it for the committee to come up with a statement condemning the attacks on Gaza, the attacks on the church in Gaza, if you don't want to condemn the attack on the hospital, as it was stated in the minister's statement yesterday asking for investigation into that? How hard is it for the committee here to abide by its humanitarian perspective of law? How hard is it for you to come up with a statement condemning the Israeli strikes and killing of Palestinian citizens in Gaza, like you did last week against the 7th of October? That's what we're asking for. Yes, we absolutely understand that MPs play a big role in putting the foreign policy of the government forward. And as I can see here, we have people who are more knowledgeable than us. But on the other side, we see some youngsters who will be leading the country soon. And we expect them to understand our story from 75 years ago, not from the 7th of October. That's what's happening in the media. I was on TVM the other day, and I was surprised by questions as if 75 years of aggression against our people did not happen. That's what we're asking you. Look into the root of the problem. Look into the history of the suffering of our problem. Yes, we don't want our people to be displaced again. We already have 8.5 million Palestinians scattered as refugees all over the world. We have refugees in Lebanon. In Jordan, we have around 2 million refugees. Why these people can't come back to their country? You expect if people are expelled from Gaza today to save their lives, they will be allowed back to Gaza? Come on, we're not Ukraine, unfortunately. We're not being treated the same way. Yes, if our people leave Gaza, they will never go back. And we completely agree with the Egyptian position that Palestinians should stay in their homeland. And that's our absolute right. Why you expect Palestinians to be refugees again? 70% of people living in Gaza are already refugees from 1948. and you expect them to leave again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador. I don't know whether you have any other comments.
I agree with my Palestinian. The same thing that we mentioned before, and that's why we are working with the international community clearly to reach some major issue first, to reach a ceasefire in order to facilitate the lives in Gaza, and we are working with the international community to fast and delivery of humanitarian aid to Gaza. That's very important. And as I mentioned very clearly, and I support completely what the Palestinian ambassador, we are against the expel of Palestinians from homeland to Sinai or to whatever, you know. This will liquidate the Palestinian cause.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other comments from outside? So I believe that the committee in its statement, and the statement both we issued and today, we condemn the killing of civilians, any civilians on both sides. And I believe that answers your question, that we have condemned the killing of any civilians. We continue to state that the only viable path towards peace remains clear, a just and comprehensive resolution of the conflict where violent acts have no place, and I think everyone from our committee and Your Excellencies also reiterate the position that has been taken by the Maltese government, that humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza is reached to give more chance for peace, because ultimately it is the aim that we should all target for. I thank you very much for your...
Just one point, because it's obviously of concern to me that the ambassador of the Palestinian people feels that our sentiment for the Palestinian suffering is not as strong as it was before. And I think we also need to give the Palestinian ambassador a reassurance, okay? And I think he feels that he needs a reassurance like that. That's, yes, we do feel for the Palestinian people in the same way that we have always felt for the Palestinian people, okay? And the right to respect for their dignity, the right of the Palestinian people for their homeland, okay, and the right to respect of all Palestinian rights and all UN resolutions. Okay, so I think we need to reiterate, even if vocally, but we need to reiterate that what we see unfolding before our eyes, okay, is obviously a human tragedy. And I think we also need to reiterate that what has been happening before our eyes is to a large degree a reflection of what has also been happening, as you rightly said, for the past 75 years, since 1948. Okay, so I think we need to make it clear to the ambassador that our position has not changed, okay, and that our respect for the right of the Palestinian people to their homeland, to the right of the state, and to live in peace, respect, and in dignity, okay, is a fundamental right, okay, which transcends everything. And I think we need to stress this. Because if the ambassador and his colleagues felt the need to come over here because they felt that this was not coming across, then obviously we need to communicate this to them. Thank you.
Yes, obviously I agree with what Honorable DeMarco said, that our and even mentioned earlier by Honorable Zamitlu, is that our foreign policy has always been consistent about Palestine, and it remains to be, and obviously I concur with what members of this committee have said, and I thank you for this opportunity that we have discussed. It is the first time I think that this committee has held such a discussion, and I invite you that each time you wish to have such discussions, we are available, because it gives us also the opportunity to hear from you, who are concerned as much as we are. I mean, you are more concerned than us, obviously, what is going on at the moment in the Middle East. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you all for being here and for your supporting words, Edward. Yeah. All of you. I mean, I've been in Malta for quite some time, 12 years, and I know how Maltese politics is, and I know their support to Palestine. From deep in my heart, I really appreciate it, and to be honest, the Prime Minister came out to the media twice mentioning the two-state solution this past week. We truly appreciate Malta's support to the two-state solution, but you need to work harder with us. As Palestinians, we need your support. Illegality of settlement, that's the main obstacle to the two-state solution. For now, we need support in ending the ceasefire in Gaza. Enough is enough. People need to start living there. We believe that the beginning to start stepping forward and having peace and stability and security in the region starts from Gaza. If Israelis, or once Israelis, stop their siege against Gaza, which has been going for 16 years, a whole generation has been raised up in Gaza, which is the size of Malta, with over 2.2 million people, so overpopulated. A new generation is being raised up in siege in Gaza. These people need to feel that there is hope, that there is a way for them to be treated as humans, equally as everyone else, who they see on the social media nowadays. So we really thank you all for being here today to hear us. And hopefully there will be no next time. Hopefully the siege and the struggle will end as soon as possible. And inshallah we can meet in Palestine soon.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, and Your Excellency.